Okay, so here's the list that I believe the Blues will not protect heading into the June expansion draft. Jori Lehterä, David Perron, Yakupov, which Yakupov's a restricted free agent.
Yeah.
He's likely to go to the KHL. Ryan Reeves, Dmitry Yaskin, Kyle Bosiak, Carl Gunnarsson, Robert Bortuzzo, and Carter Hutton.
Okay.
How
many players can they take?
Only one. Only one from each team can go.
Okay.
Now, the Blues can make a deal with Vegas. They can say, if you select this player, we will trade this player. There's deals available. So you got to take into account that Vegas is going to have 30 teams all give them one player. Okay. The max that you can have on a roster is 23. So, but Vegas is looking at each of these players as assets. And what Vegas's goal is going to be is trying to take these assets that you get, give them playing time for the ones that you can, or if you can, trade them to another team during this offseason to try to acquire picks to build up that stockpile of a brand new franchise. You want as many picks as you can get in the draft. That is George McPhee, who's the general manager of Vegas's motive.
I had someone tell me today that they're really looking forward to this draft because they think it's just going to be just this plethora of trades.
And it's not just going to be trades with Vegas. It's teams know that they can only protect 7 forwards and 3 defensemen or 8 skaters. And there's going to be guys that are valuable that teams cannot protect that then they're going to make a deal with another team to be able to trade this. You're going to see a lot of activity.
What's up, Rob?
We could also see teams essentially pay Vegas through draft picks or to either select a player off your roster that you want to dump or avoid a player. And I don't know if they'll do this, but I would like to see, do the Blues try to send, you know, 2 fourth-round picks to make sure that when one of the players they pick because of his salary to get to the floor, maybe that make sure that one player is Jori Lehterä. Maybe he's one of the guys they pick to get up to the salary floor. Do the Blues give away a couple draft picks to make that happen?
And you might not even need to. And I know that sounds crazy for Blues fans, but hear me out on this, okay? When you look at the expansion draft and you see what's available and you see what teams protect, the center position in the NHL is the hardest position to acquire talent. Nobody in St. Louis is going to argue with that because look at what St. Louis is struggling with. Okay, Jori Lehterä, and this speaks to the expansion draft, will probably be one of the best centers available through the expansion draft. I mean, Vegas, the Golden Knights just signed a player who is a KHL star, who's not much different than Lehterä was, signed him to a 2-year deal with $4.5 million a season.
Okay.
Jori Lehterä makes $4.7 million for another 2 years, at least the cap hit. So could Vegas look at a player like Lehterä and say, okay, so here's a player that we have. He had a good first season in St. Louis. We have a need for him. He's a veteran. He plays pretty well defensively. You know, you got to remember that the expectations for Vegas is way different than what we're seeing in St. Louis.
Oh, absolutely.
And the Blues can...
They're just happy to have a team.
And the Blues could make a trade of Lehterä to Vegas that helps them get to the cap. But also what the Blues could do in the process is retain some of his salary, which then would allow Vegas at the trade deadline, if Lehterä is playing well, to then retain salary themselves. And a team, two teams now, get Lehterä for less than 50% of his value on the cap.
How much cap space do the Blues have right now? Is it like, what, about 4 or 5 million?
Okay, so with what you see from players right now signed and under contract, the salary cap's roughly going to stay around $73 million. That's the upper end. The Blues right now have about 68.5 committed. So 68.5 million committed. They have about $4.5 million cap space. And here's the big one. They have an arbitration-eligible Colton Parayko,
okay,
which you're looking at anywhere between $4 and $5 million. It's probably going to be around $4 million if it's a bridge deal for him, which is a short two-year contract. If the Blues look to lock him up on a larger deal like they did with a Alex Pietrangelo when he was still in restricted free agency, you're looking at a $5.5 to $6 million. It's going to be interesting to see what type of deal makes the most sense for the Blues. That signing is going to eat up the remaining cap space. And the only other restricted free agent the Blues have that's on their roster that they might bring back at that point is Magnus Pajärvi. So that's it. I mean, there's not much there. So the question I think you're probably going to ask is, where do they get this cap space from?
Yeah.
Okay. So you look at Jori Lehterä. The thing that hurts about Laterra is he has 2 years left on the deal. But it's $4.7 million is the cap hit for each of those
Everybody
2 years.
Saw how he played this year, too. So
correct.
I mean, you're not going to be able to really trade him. It's going to take a sales job to trade Yuri Laterra, in my opinion.
Or what it's going to take is some type of proactive measure by the Blues or something that is creative, and you have to take advantage of the expansion draft, okay? The next one is David Perron. David Perron made $3.75 million. I know St. Louis is like, get David Perron out of town right now because of the postseason that he had. One thing to remember, though, if it's not for David Perron, the Blues likely don't even make the playoffs. Perron had to play a right-wing position, second-line position for most of the season, and he was pretty good at it in the regular season. Now, his play fell off in the postseason, but he only has 1 year left at $3.75 million. And according to sources, Perron actually turned down less money in free agency to come to St. Louis. And he has a modified no-trade clause, which lists some teams. It is possible, though, that you could see either Perron get claimed on the expansion draft or Perron is a player that the Blues could make a deal. The other one is you have Yaskin, Dmitry Yaskin. And okay. He had a good game five, but talk about the microcosm of the series. Dmitry Yaskin, his two games was a microcosm of his career so far in St. Louis. Has an excellent game five, scores the first goal, gets the Blues going. He's also the guy who is mainly responsible for Roman Josi having having the west side of Tennessee open on that first goal that Nashville scored. And he's been inconsistent. And then the other option that the Blues have, there's a lot of teams that wish they had some of the Blues defensemen. And Carl Gunnarsson is one of those guys, and I realize he's a fifth or sixth defenseman on the Blues teams. There's a lot of teams in the NHL that Carl Gunnarsson could play in a fourth-line role. He only has 1 year left on his he has 3 years left on his contract at $2.9 million. That's a manageable term that you could see a team go after Carl Gunnarsson and give the Blues some cap relief.
So we've established that the Blues really need a center. They need a front-line center.
The Blues need a top-six center. They need somebody who's a first- or second-line center because you can get by with having two number two centers in the NHL and win. You can't get by with only having a number one slash number two in Stastny, and that's it.
Okay, I'm looking at the...
And it doesn't help when your best center doesn't work well on the line with your best player. And that's what we've seen is that right now, and even to a point the coaching staff has admitted it, there's just something that's stopping Stastny and Tarasenko from meshing on the same line. They looked better at the end of the season.
They looked better
since the Yo change, they looked better, but that's still worrisome when you're talking about not having that top-line center.
Well, maybe that's something to think about, too, that with Mike Yo, with him running an entire full training camp, that maybe that continue to gel together between those two players. Looking at the unrestricted free agents that are centers, we talked about him earlier, that's Joe Thornton, who's 37 years old. He had a good year, coming off an injury, though, and you know that he's never won a Stanley Cup, so he's going to be extraordinarily hungry. It all depends on how close he thinks the Blues are to winning a Stanley Cup, if he's willing to maybe take less money to come here to win one. That's a possibility. I'm looking at some other players, too. Mike Fisher out of Nashville.
I'd be shocked if he didn't find a way to re-sign with Nashville at the end of the season.
Mike Ribeiro, also from Nashville.
He's done. Ribeiro is done. I mean, they had to send him to the AHL in the second half of the season.
And then Martin Hanzel.
Hanzel's a player who he's a big body. He was okay for Minnesota in that acquisition. I was absolutely shocked at what the Arizona Coyotes got for Martin Hanzel. He's a guy who's never been able to stay consistently healthy. And he's a player who's never shown his ability to elevate his game when it matters most in the postseason.
Ward Cleaver
would immediately be, undoubtedly, I think, by a measure, the best player in the circle for the Blues.
He is good at faceoffs.
Incredibly good at faceoff.
But Joe Thornton is too.
And a big body is something that they haven't had here. I mean, this team has a complete lack of anybody who plays like David Backus or Troy Brower did a few years ago. Hansel's a guy who he'll get on the circle.
And he's 30 years old too, which is what
I like. Pucks will bounce off him, but I mean he's gonna demand $4 million a year way more than that.
How often did you notice him in the series against the Blues?
Didn't notice him at all.
And that's the scary thing. Now, Joe Thornton is an impact player, and yes, Joe Thornton's coming off the MCL and ACL injury. My argument on that was Thornton played a solid first round series and he was doing it on one leg.
Ward Cleaver texting in, any interest in Evander Kane?
See,
that's a big contract, isn't it? That's going to be a $5 million contract at the low end, not more.
You know, I just don't see the Blues doing it. I don't see that. He's another guy who, for long stretches of his game, just disappears. I personally don't see that, and I don't see him as a very good fit for the Blues.
Well, I guess the good thing is that we now know that they have a goaltender in Jake Allen. He has resurrected his career. As long as Martin Brodeur is involved with the St. Louis Blues organization,
and
I'm extraordinarily comfortable with Jake Allen in goal, where I wasn't before.
And Jake Allen's only 26.
Yeah.
Most goalies in the NHL don't peak until 29 or 30. The Blues are going to see Allen's best seasons to come, and look at what they just had from him.
So we got goalie covered.
Yep.
Okay. I don't care what Mark says. We're not trading Vladimir Tarasenko.
Let's talk real quick defense.
Okay, so
let's look at defense. You have Petrangelo, you have Bo Meester, you have Edmondson, you have Parayko. Those are your top four. Okay, if you do get rid of, make a move with Carl Gunnarsson for salary cap relief, you have three defensive prospects already in line, not including Lindbom in Chicago, who is also available for the expansion draft. You have Jordan Schmaltz, you have Vince Dunn, and you have Jake Walman. And Jake Wallman's the one who you haven't heard that much about from a lot of people, but he is a steady defensive defenseman who might be perfect on a fifth or sixth role.
Rock.
We saw how solid Robert Bortuzzo was as your third line, as your third pairing, your defenseman. What's the, if Jordan Schmaltz is clearly better than Vince Dunn and ready for the NHL ahead of Vince Dunn, do they just tell him, hey, you're going to have to learn to play on your opposite side, because he's a right-hand defenseman, and obviously there's a big hole at the left side. You don't want to replace Bortuzzo. I'm guessing that's not in the clouds, because he's got a very small contract and he's playing very well. So do they just tell Schmaltz to, you know, you just got to have to work on the opposite side for a little bit? Is that how it's going to go, you think?
On maybe a lower pairing, that's an option. Personally, Vince Dunn, I do not believe, is that far away for this Blues club.
Really?
He looked good in the preseason, and he suffered a little bit of an injury in the preseason, but he was looking similar to what you saw out of Parayko and Edmondson in that preseason exhibition that they gave two seasons ago, when people said, you got to keep these guys on the team.
Edmondson had a fantastic playoff series or season. And speaking of the kids, you had to like the way the AHL call-ups look this year.
Absolutely.
They look fantastic. So you have to say the future's bright with the Blues. So,
and in the NHL, you need 10 defensemen to get through an NHL 82-game regular season. You need 10 defensemen, and the Blues have it.
I have a text coming in. When baseball started, they didn't play with gloves. Should we go back to that? Is that maybe going to make the Cardinals fielding better? I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do with that text. Nick Hand, thank you so much for making time for us. We got Peter Vesci coming up at 7 o'clock. You want to wait through that and then continue on with discussion after Peter Vesci's over?
Yeah, let's do another segment.
You want to do another segment? Okay, we're going to do that. But right now, we need to head back to Matt Rocchio and that 590 Show Sports Update.
In action a little bit later tonight, it's going to be the Golden State Warriors and the Utah Jazz Game 4. The Warriors going for the sweep in that series. And just now, starting off puck drop not too long ago, it is the Washington Capitals taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins. That is Game 6 of that series. Pittsburgh's leading that one 3-2 as they look to lock it all up today. In baseball action right now, the Giants leading the Mets 2-1 in the top of the third. The Nationals down 4-0 to the Orioles, and the Yankees up over the Reds 4-1 in the top of the third. A little bit later on, the Cubs will get underway in Colorado. I'm Matt Rocchio with your 590 Sports Report.
Thank you very much, Matt Rocchio. Let's take a commercial break, and then coming up on the other side, veteran NBA journalist Peter Vesci will be on the Bellman Automotive phone line with us. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Back in the days on the boulevard I landed, we used to kick routines and the presence was fitting. It was I, the abstract,
and me, the 5 foot.